Good morning to you. Good morning. I'm going to pretend today that I can see you. The narrow gate and the false prophets. Matthew 7. Jesus said many kind things that we love to hear, and we repeat them to ourselves and to each other. Good news from God for the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like, that's always music to our ears and souls, is it not? Good news from God for the poor in spirit. What could be better? Later in Matthew, Jesus will say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." These words move us and attract us, and he hopes they will move us and attract us, rest for our souls. But Jesus also gave quite a few warnings about what would happen to people who walked away, warnings to people who were walking away from the kingdom of heaven and from the one who offers rest for our souls. So Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with Beatitudes, blessings, good news from God for all the needy people. And Jesus ended the sermon with four warnings. So we will do the first two warnings this Sunday and the last two next Sunday. Warnings scare us, so we tend to avoid them. They make us feel uneasy, and of course we don't like that. I don't like that. But it's not fair to Jesus just to hang on to the kind words. So think of the warnings as coming from the Father in heaven who loves us, coming from a shepherd. Picture parents teaching their children to stay away from the highway where the cars and trucks go by so fast. Don't play near there. Imagine parents telling their children not to play near a big waterfall that would sweep them away if they fell in. Warnings are not a bad idea. The world is a spiritually dangerous place for every one of us. And so these are warnings from someone who loves us and who knows what the dangers are. So let's take them that way. The Sermon on the Mount summary is in chapter 7, verse 12. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." This line is the last ethical teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the Lord's sermon summary. So it's the Lord's sermon summary, and it sums up the law and the prophets. If we want a one-line summary of the Beatitudes, this is it. If we want a one-line summary of how a disciple of Christ lives, this is it. It's his summary. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." So think about our own households. People on our households can be very hard to live with. If I was acting like that, how would I like to be treated? That's always our starting point. And think about our neighbors and our workplaces and our enemies and those who work against us and those who are just hard to get along with. We all have those in our lives. Jesus very clearly included our enemies in this in Matthew 5, our opponents in all kinds of ways. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." And this is the center of righteousness in the sermon. If we hunger and thirst for this righteousness, we will be filled. This is the righteousness that needs to go past the scribes and the Pharisees. They had a different kind of righteousness and did not always do well at this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What would that look like when we'd found it? What does finding the kingdom and God's righteousness look like in our lives? "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." Folks, I am not preaching this because I like it. I am not good at this, and what is worse, a lot of the time I do not want to be good at this. I want to do to them as they did to me. And I am preaching this because the Lord's sermon has backed me into a corner on this, and that's why I'm talking about it this way. And that after that one line summary of the whole sermon, Jesus ended the sermon by warning us four times. And so we're going to look at the first two warnings today, the narrow gate and false prophets. So the first warning is the narrow gate, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the gate, and steep the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. People don't have to look for the wide gate, they just enter. But we do have to look for the narrow gate. Jesus could have said, I'm so glad most people will find the narrow gate. You know, but that's not what he said. He said, only a few find it. So the warning is simple here. He's saying, don't take any of my words lightly, says Jesus. Eternal life and eternal destruction are on the line, says Jesus. So don't take this lightly. So, am I merciful? Do I seek peace with those who oppose me? Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? It matters a lot. No one misses the narrow gate because they are not good enough. No one misses because they are just not that generous. They are just too evil and too sinful to live that life. Ask, the Lord said. He just said this before the golden rule. He said, ask. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks this gate will find it. For everyone who knocks, this gate will be opened. Listen, God designed all this for the poor in spirit. Remember that. God has not forgotten that. God gives us a lot of help in this. But following Christ is not an accessory to make life easier, like air conditioning or a reliable vehicle, a roof that doesn't leak. It's not an accessory. Following Christ, being beatitude disciples, is either the first business of life or we were not listening. So there is unlimited forgiveness for those who seek this and fail along the way, those who seek this kingdom and sin. This really is designed for the poor in spirit, my brothers and sisters. Just don't take it lightly. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, like Jesus says in Matthew 6, is not a tip to being a better than average Christian. It is the only way to eternal life. And in particular, the gate is this: in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And if the gate was reduced to one line, that would be it. In our normal circles, the people in an ordinary day, an ordinary week and month, let's act this way. So the Lord who loves us and died for us, he knows this is not easy for us. He knows we are poor in spirit, that we sin often, we have bad behavioral habits. He knows this is a difficult path, and that most people in the world are not on it. He was tempted in all ways, as we are, and in his temptation he was surrounded by his own weaknesses. It was a narrow gate and a steep path for him. So he's concerned, my brothers and sisters, in this first warning, that we will take his words too casually. He's concerned about people who have real interest, but they are sure there must be an easier way to do this. And his opening line was, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. And among you, my brothers and sisters, the evidence says you have already heard this call. And you have found the narrow gate. We are all a bit clumsy at this, and sometimes it does not look very good. But Jesus is giving us the lay of the land, like a spiritual map, so we will know the terrain and what it is that's actually important. We need a lot of help figuring out what it is that is actually important. So he's showing us, and he says, enter through the narrow gate. That is the first warning. The second warning is about false prophets in verses 15 to 20, Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree does good fruit, and a bad tree does bad fruit. A good tree cannot do bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot do good fruit. Every tree that does not do good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. The second and third and fourth warnings of our Lord are all about different kinds of deceiving. So this second warning, the false prophet's warning, is about deceivers coming into the church. And the third warning, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, people deceive themselves because they have powerful ministries. And in the fourth warning, wise and foolish builders, people deceive themselves because they always hear the message, thinking that hearing it is enough. So back to this second one. In the second warning about false prophets, Jesus assumes his followers are a distinct group, a congregation. He does not use the word church here, but that's what he's assuming. So there's a group that somebody can enter. So he warns the group, the church, about false prophets. False prophets are mentioned often in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So Jesus means anyone who claims to speak for God, just not technically prophets, anyone who enters the group and says they speak for God. False prophets are ferocious wolves. They look good and are dangerous. The false proclaimers are horribly dangerous. They are disastrous for God's people. They do great damage, so beware of them. They are not what they seem. By their fruit you will recognize them. And he ends, thus by their fruit you will recognize him. So Jesus is giving us a way, by their fruit. Perhaps you noticed something weird in my translation of these verses. Your Bible says something like, every good tree bears good fruit, but I said, every good tree does good fruit. Bears fruit is a fine translation, but there's a simple common Greek word, translated do, that gets used a lot of times in the last part of Matthew 7. And the way to recognize a false prophet is not from what they say, but from what they do. Jesus says this three different ways. He's remarkably repetitive here. First, the golden rule has the word do. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Likewise, every good tree does good fruit, but a bad tree does bad fruit. A good tree cannot do bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot do good fruit. Every tree that will not do good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The fruit is the Beatitudes. The fruit is the whole Sermon on the Mount. They treat others as they would like to be treated. See, sometimes it takes a very sharp theological mind to figure out what's wrong with the message that false prophets proclaim. That's not where the Lord takes us. You don't need a theological mind to see if these people are meek, to see if they're merciful, to see if they make peace with their enemies, to see if they're laying up treasure in heaven. You just need to know the Beatitudes and follow the Lord and keep your eyes open. How do the false prophets treat the ordinary people in their lives, especially the needy or the troublemakers in their lives? How do they act? This test, says Jesus, is completely reliable. It will never steer you wrong. If they are not Beatitude disciples, they are false prophets. It takes a while to see this sometimes. Can't tell that right away, but keep your eyes open. This test always works. In Galatians 5, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. That list of nine things that the Holy Spirit produces is very much like the Beatitudes. What the Spirit produces and what the Beatitudes invite are very similar. So this is not unique here to the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus speaks of good fruit from good trees, he's not thinking about Galatians 5. But if we put the fruit of the Spirit in there, we'd be pretty close to what Jesus is talking about here, because the fruit of the Spirit are very much like the Beatitudes. And now, our church is selecting an elder. The qualifications for elders in the New Testament are the same thing again. Elders are not chosen for spiritual gifts, and not for their skills or their abilities. The requirements of church leaders are godly character. How do they live in the church? How do they live with their families? How do they live with the unbelievers around them? What's their reputation? The leaders of the church show themselves to be beatitude disciples, which is the only kind of disciple Christ has. And so the leaders of the church are not perfect, not by any stretch, but the fruit of the Spirit is regularly and normally evident in their lives. So we're talking about the same thing all the way through here. The test for false prophets, are they beatitude disciples? And the fruit of the Spirit are aiming the same way, and the qualifications for elders are aiming the same way. And that's why Peter can say to the elders in 1 Peter 5, they should lead by example. Right? That's the kind of leadership. And if the elders can be beatitude people, then the church will be moving along in the right direction. And that is exactly what the false proclaimers do not have, says Jesus. They do not pass the beatitude test, they don't pass the fruit of the Spirit test, and they don't pass the godly character of elders test. They don't do good fruit because they are bad trees, and they will be thrown into the fire. So be careful, my brothers and sisters. There are so many voices out there that we want to swallow up. Famous preachers and writers and speakers, and we have no idea how they live. But their message is attractive. And many of them are beatitude disciples, and plenty of them are not. They are dangerous false prophets. Beware of the wonderful voice. Beware of the wonderful talking head when you do not know how the person lives. Beware of the wonderful writer when you have no idea if they do good or bad fruit. So use some caution here. This is how the Lord is telling us. And it means that people who are not part of a congregation are hanging in midair. And he means to leave them hanging in midair. Our Lord loves us, my brothers and sisters. He loves us. And these warnings are his way of saying, don't play near the freeway and don't play near that waterfall. I've told you the good news, he says to us, and now I'm telling you what to watch out for so that you stay safe with me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Savior, thank you for the good news. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you designed this for the poor in spirit. Thank you that everyone who asks for these things receives them. That everyone who seeks will find. Lord, everyone who knocks will find the door open. Lord, thank you that nobody loses out because they are not good enough. That is a great relief to us. Thank you for being so straightforward a teacher. Thank you for saying it like it is, Lord, for helping us keep our eyes open. And now, keep being our shepherd, Lord. We want that narrow gate. We want that path to life. We want you. We want the kingdom of God. We want to treat others as we'd like to be treated. And you have come to us, and you called us, you invited us, and that is so good. And so we are saying yes with all our hearts, Lord. Take us by the hand and see us through. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.